Good morning. Welcome to worship this Sunday. It's good to see you all. I have three announcements that I was supposed to get in the bulletin that I didn't get in the bulletin this week. The first is that we have council meeting tomorrow night, so please join us for council. The second is that Parish Education Committee will meet on September 22nd right after worship. Did I get that date right, Crystal? September 22nd right after worship. And the third is something. What was I supposed to remember? It just went out of my head. Potluck, fifth Sunday potluck, which there's a flyer for in your box if you have a box. If you don't have one or you don't want to go there, there's some flyers on the back too. But fifth Sunday of September, you're invited to bring a covered dish and have lunch with us just because it's good to be together and we like to eat. So come on the last Sunday of September and join us for that. Got to put a plug in for next Sunday, middle and high school youth. We're going to have a kickoff event with Davidson Lutheran Youth, and it's going to be here. We're going to have a cookout. We're going to play kickball. There'll be s'mores. There'll be devotions. It's going to be a good time. So if you are a middle schooler or a high schooler, if you know a middle schooler and a high schooler, please let them know that that's what's coming. Again, we're hosting that here for Lutheran Youth from all the other churches in the county, starting at 5:30, and we ought to be done by 7:30, which is what I don't have in the bulletin here. Want to put in a plug for what we're doing as a way to look at our intentional growth in our spiritual lives in the next several months. September, this month, we're going to be trying to work on the discipline of service. And so as part of that, we're going to pack backpacks. And we're going to do that next week right after worship in the office complex. And the goal is we're going to try to pack all the backpacks of food that we send to Davis Townsend from now until school lets out for Christmas break. And if we have 20 people, it probably won't take more than 20 minutes or something, but just to have our hands be part of that labor as we not only prayerfully but actually physically send those bags of food with them. So that's next week. If you can join us for that right after worship, please do. And then in October, what we're going to be looking at is the spiritual discipline of worship. I know we do that, but it's a habit that's really important in our lives. So show of hands, of those of you who drive, how many of you have been driving somewhere and there's something on your mind or somebody's talking to you on the phone and you sort of go into this focus on whatever you're thinking about, and at some point you like wake up and you go, wait a minute, where am I and how have I gotten here? I know I come up 85 every day, one exit. If I'm taking the kids first, I take a right off the exit, and if I'm coming to the church first, I take a left. And just this last week, I did the wrong one because I wasn't paying attention, and it wasn't a huge deal, but I go, oh, that's the power of habit, right? Your body takes over when you're not paying attention, particularly when you're distracted if you have powerful habits. So these habits are important. They're a big deal in our lives, and we want our worship life to be that way for us. We want it to take over and kick in when things are stressful, when things are distracting. And the only way you really have that kind of powerful habit is if you nurture that habit, right? So we're challenging everybody for the whole month of October, plan to be in worship, right? Just make that your plan and priority for worship. 4 weeks we can do, right? This is not, I'm not like going to come after you and hound you if you can't do it, but this is not a lifetime commitment. I hope it turns into that, right? But just give me 4 weeks in October, plan to be here for worship, and see what that feels like. Let's see if we can change some habits and develop some good habits in our spiritual lives together. Other announcements we should be aware of today. Yes. Thank you. So the silly schedule is youth up to the fifth grade, like 2 years old up to the fifth grade. So grab one of those schedules and share those around. Thank you, Paula. Other announcements to be aware of? Dean. If you have been associated with Property Committee, would like to be associated with Property Committee, think it's fun to talk with Dean. Join him where, Dean? Right up here for a brief discussion about something property related and give your input. Other announcements. I don't know that we have any prayer shawls today, so we wish happy birthday to some folks this week. Happy birthday to Todd, Virginia, Ava, and I know Chip put one that I don't have in my bulletin, and to Peg. And happy anniversary to Bob and Kim, Jean and Barbara, and Herbert and Wendy. Anybody else we need to add to that list? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to put one more thing to you. The North Carolina Synod over the last year or two has been looking at ways that we can do things creatively to address challenges for congregations. One of the things that people realized was often congregations have trouble getting a hold of preachers to fill in if their pastor is away or if they're in a transition period or whatever. And one of the ways that the Synod has looked at this is to say, you know what, lay people with some training can do good and faithful ministry of proclamation of the gospel many times. And so this May at Synod Assembly, we had our first class commissioned of lay preachers who were people from across the synod that somebody said, we think you have the gifts for this, and then they got some intentional training. And then we had one of them here the last time I was gone, and she did a great job from everything that I've heard. So this is to say, we have had folks in this congregation who have done that lay preaching over some years already. And so we said, wow, we should offer to them the opportunity to be part of this. And so Joe Davis is going to go starting this weekend, this Friday, and spend a few days of retreat. And then there'll be like three or four more of these weekend kind of deals over the next year. And he's going to be taught and learn and spend time in prayer and study. And then in about a year's time, I think, is that the right timeline, Joe? Be commissioned as a North Carolina Synod authorized and certified lay preacher. So we're going to keep him in our prayers, and right after the sermon hymn, we're going to do a little blessing and sending of him. So if you'll join us up here at the end of the hymn, Joe, we'll send you on your way. I will quit running my mouth, and we'll listen to something beautiful. We stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Have mercy on us, Christ.
Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord God, in all our doings with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated if the children will join me for the children's message. Good morning, good morning. Come on, guys. I'm going to borrow this, Judy. I didn't warn you about this. Okay. Come on up this way, everybody. Good morning. So, I thought this morning we would talk about some things that are really important to me. Is that all right with you guys? All right, so I thought, here you go. Here it is. What is this? The cross. That's the symbol of our faith, right? So Jesus and God's love for us, most clearly we see it on the cross. So, wow, knowing God and God's will for us, really important, and we find a lot about that in the Bible. So here it is, things that are really important to me. But you know what? I got some more stuff that's important to me. You want to see it? Yeah, okay, let's do it. Not very talkative bunch this morning. I just brought a few things that are important to me. And I might sit on this if that's okay. Okay, let's see. Anybody know who these people are? You recognize any of these people? That's my family. Yeah, they're really important to me. So let's see if I can just prop this up right here a little bit. My family is super important to me. And you know what else is important to me? Good home maintenance. Because if you don't keep things in good shape, things break down. So that's important to me. So I spend some time doing that. This is a drill. Some caulking, because you know, if you don't keep your windows in good shape, you're just pouring money out the windows in air conditioning bills. So good home maintenance is important to me. You know what else is really important to me? What do you do with these? What do you listen to? Music. Yeah, I really like music. So these are some headphones I borrowed from Marcus. Music is really important to me. And let's see. Oh, you know what is important? If you go out in the sun and you expose yourself to too much UV radiation directly into your eyeballs, that can damage your eyes. And so I'm very sensitive to light, and so I like to wear sunglasses and keep my eyes healthy. That's important to me. And I like to be prepared in case there's some kind of power outage or something. Yeah, so a flashlight helps me in case the power goes out, I would see. I like to have fun. Is that important to anybody else? You like to have fun? Maybe play with a ball, something like that. That's important to me. I like to be active and do things outside, so I got my tennis shoes here. That's important to me. You know what? I have bills to pay. Do you guys have bills to pay? Maybe not so much yet. So it's important to me that I have a way to come up with some money so that I can pay my bills. So that's all important to me. So what do you guys think about this? That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? It's almost like distracting. There's so much stuff here, it's hard to focus on anything, isn't it? Remember when I started, what did I put out here first? The cross. What do you guys think is supposed to be the most important thing in our lives? Yeah, God's relationship with us, yeah, that we see most clearly God's love for us in the cross. That's like the most important thing, is following Jesus. These other things, they're important to me, but if they all pile up, sometimes we sort of lose sight. There's so much stuff on here, I can hardly even see the cross and the Bible anymore. Sometimes our lives get like this. They get really busy, and there are other important things. Home maintenance is important. Having fun is important. Paying your bills is important. It's very important. Being active and staying healthy, finding things that bring you joy is important. Caulking is important. Finding ways to be prepared is important. Gosh, my family, they're so important to me. But you know what Jesus says in our lesson today? Jesus says, look, these things, they can be important, but the most important thing, the thing that we put before everything else in our lives, is supposed to be following Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. So sometimes when our lives get cluttered and there's too many things going on, we have to find ways that we can refocus our lives and make sure that the thing that's supposed to be the most important, which is God's will for us, is actually the most important thing for us. And that's hard, but a good way to do that is to remember to say your prayers every night before you go to bed. You can pray before your meals and thank God for what God has given you. To read in the Bible and learn the stories of God. If you don't have a Bible at home that you like to use for that, talk to me and I'll give you one, okay? And another really important thing we do to keep the will of God the priority in our lives is we come to church, right? And we're reminded, we talk to each other and we learn about God's will, we hear the Word of God. Those are the ways that even though it's really hard, we find ways to keep the most important thing, and that's God's will in our lives. So, your task this week, if you don't do it already, I want you guys to pray before all your meals. If you need some help with that, your parents can help you. If your parents need some help with that, they can talk to me, and I'll give you some simple prayers to do. And to do prayers at bedtime, okay? To this week, I want you guys to get out a Bible at your house and have your parents read a story with you. Can you do that? Those are ways that we can make sure that we keep the most important things in our lives, the most important thing, even though it's hard. Will you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Lord God, you give us life. Help us not be distracted and know you're the most important thing. Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, you guys, if you are going to Children's Church, you can line up at that door, or we'll always like to have you in here, too, if you want to stay.
The first reading for today comes from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of the scoffers, but they delight in they are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord watches.
The second reading is from Philemon, first chapter. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Alphia, our sister, and Apocryphus, our fellow soldier, and to Christ in church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love
for all the saints in your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Omnius, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to both you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I want to keep him with me, so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might become voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence in your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. A bonus word this morning, if as you heard me read those texts, you didn't just have this surge of joy in your heart about the liberating and life-giving word that we just heard. Let me just say, you know, many of you, that we read from the Revised Common Lectionary, which is a really intentional way to try to move through important pieces of the Bible in our life together, and it repeats every 3 years. But not only do we do that in an intentional way that I think is helpful, that happens all over the world, And I happen to know that the bishop of our North Carolina Synod is in Papua New Guinea today, which is already tomorrow today in Papua New Guinea, and has been there for about going on 2 weeks and will come home later this week. And he got into place with internet access and posted this morning that he was preaching on the Revised Common Lectionary text. So in Papua New Guinea, tomorrow, today, because of the time zones, this is the text they heard and the text they deal with. So it's a really neat way that we're connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We know specifically that some of those in Papua New Guinea, where about 20% of the population is Lutheran, that they're wrestling with these texts today too. So I commend that to you, even if it's not always fun, which maybe it's you can sort of go either way on, but I can volunteer. For me, it's not always fun, but I think it's important. So having said that, that was your bonus this morning. Here is a brief selection, not exhaustive, of things that I hate. That bird right outside the bedroom window that starts calling before everyone is awake every morning. Rice squished to the bottom of my bare foot against a hardwood floor. The smell of canned tuna. How long it takes to properly apply sunscreen. That fool who we all know in traffic, who comes flying down the shoulder and wants to merge in front of me and everyone else who's waited. Robocalls. Calling my doctor's office with a simple and brief question and being routed to the call center in another city. Scented candles. And my list could go on. But you know what's not on my list of things that I hate? Father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and life itself. And I'm pretty sure for many of us, if you're going to draw up your own brief list of the things you hate, your family would not be on that list. So what's going on? Does Jesus really want us to hate our families? If we pull back and look with a little bit wider lens at the whole Gospel of Luke, not just these verses, we remember that Jesus blesses little children in chapter 18. He has strong words against the practice of dividing families by divorce in chapter 16 of Luke. He tells a story in the 15th chapter of Luke about this father who joyfully takes his son back, welcoming him extravagantly even after he had left the family and squandered his inheritance. So no, I don't think Jesus really wants us to actively hate our families. I think the word here, hate, is probably an exaggeration on Jesus's part. We do this all the time. When I say that I hate the smell that lingers forever after a can of tuna has been opened, what I really mean is that it's slightly unpleasant. Do I detest it to my core? Does it go against everything I stand for as a person? No, not really. I just say that I hate it to drive home the point, right? I don't like it. I think that's what Jesus is doing here with the word hate. He's driving home the point. Only Jesus's point is not about family being unpleasant. The point that Jesus is driving home is about priorities. And what Jesus is getting at here is that being a disciple can't be one priority we have among others. It has to be the priority, the top priority. So much so that even our families pale in comparison. So much so that even preserving your life has to take a back seat to following Jesus in the way of the cross. So much so that you can't be weighed down by your possessions. Jesus has this big crowd following him at this point in Luke's gospel. Some of these people are believers. Some of them aren't sure yet, but they're seekers. And probably some folks just wanted to see what all the fuss and commotion was about. And Jesus wants people to know, before they take this journey any farther, that following him comes with costs. Our version of Christianity in our society today is pretty far removed from these costs. We aren't really persecuted for what we believe. We don't put ourselves in economic jeopardy for going to church. In fact, in our society, it's pretty easy to profess belief in Jesus and continue having a comfortable life. And I'm not sure that this is a very good thing. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad we're not persecuted. I'm not asking for that. But somewhere along the way, I wonder if we've lost this sense that real Christianity, it comes with a cost. I wonder if we've lost the awareness that being a disciple means sacrificing for the sake of God's kingdom. This is what Jesus is trying to tell the crowds following him and saying to us, that being a disciple of Jesus means putting the needs of the kingdom of God over possessions. It means putting the way of Jesus over even family. It means taking up the cross and following Jesus into places that put our comfortable lives, sometimes our safety and security and our lives themselves at risk. Because, yeah, actually that's what carrying the cross and following Jesus looks like. It's not about dealing with that illness that plagues you, or the fact that you're not as tall as you wish you were, or whatever. Those things are not your cross to bear. Your cross to bear is what you do voluntarily, the action you really don't want to take, but that you willingly do anyway for the sake of following Jesus. Because this discipleship thing, it's not a conscription situation. Discipleship is an all-volunteer outfit made up of those people who have been moved by the love of God and want to do something in response to that love, who want to share that love. Discipleship is made up of those who are so deeply touched by the grace of God that they've received and know they aren't worthy of it. Disciples are these people so stunned by the beauty of God's welcome that they can't do anything but join up and be part of this mission of healing. Disciples are the ones who have realized that they have been given everything and want to use those gifts in the service of God in others, no matter the cost. People stand up to be disciples because they know as much filth and pain in this world that they may have to wade through because of their following of Jesus, that it's worth it. Sure, in God's love, salvation can come even to the comfortable who don't follow Jesus. But people become disciples because they've caught a glimpse of the glory of God's coming kingdom, and the sacrifice is worth it to be part of that kingdom now in the world. Yeah, the costs of this are high, make no mistake about that, but anything worth having requires sacrifice. So the question is, where do our priorities lie? With Jesus or elsewhere? Discipleship may not always be in conflict with your other loyalties. There are probably times when you can balance your loyalty to your family with seeking Jesus, but it's not always that way. There will be times when our priorities are in conflict, and the only way to deal with it is to make hard choices. In a couple of weeks, in the 16th chapter of Luke, we're going to hear Jesus say that you can't serve two masters. Family, vocations that pay the bills, recreation, they can all be really great things. But the truth is, when push comes to shove, none of these things can save you. The only thing that can save us is the one who has defeated the power of death and who now beckons us to follow. So, where do your priorities lie? And do your habits, customs, and actions live out those priorities? If, as you take stock of things, you realize that life might be a little out of balance for you now, well, find ways to refocus your priorities around Jesus. The things we started with the kids down here are pretty good. Say your prayers, come to worship, read the scriptures. But we're also trying to do something over the next few months where we focus on this spiritual practice each month. So do this, try this with us. Come pack backpacks next week as a way of serving. Make plans now to be here for worship in October. Plan to participate in Bible study and prayer coming in November and December. Find ways to get your habits in line with your priorities. God's grace is absolutely freely given, but it is not cheap. Discipleship is about more than just believing. Love it or hate it, make it your priority to follow Jesus in action. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Friends in Christ, today we give thanks to God and seek God's blessing as we send Joe to training and study so that he might receive commissioning as a lay preacher. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You made the whole earth for your glory. All creation praises you. We lift our voices to join the songs of heaven and earth in thanksgiving for the many blessings you have given us. Renew in us, Lord, the commitment to use our gifts in the service of others, and especially of those in need. Let us be your hands to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, comfort the weary and outcast, welcome the stranger, care for creation, proclaim your good news, and be loving neighbors to all people. We ask, Lord, that you would bless Joe as he goes out from here to labor in study and instruction toward preaching. Prosper the work of his hands. Bless those who receive him and the fruits of his labor. And may those who are sent receive blessing in return. May the gifts he uses and share be signs of your love to all people. To you, O God, be the glory and honor through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in your church and in the world, now and forever. Amen. So we send Joe with our prayers. Keep him in your thoughts this Friday through when? Friday through Sunday, he'll be at Luther Ridge, and then over the next year or so, as he does that several more times. And if this is something that makes you go, huh, I'd like to hear more about that, let's talk some more. If this is something you'd like to try, not necessarily a whole year of study to begin with, but if it intrigues you and you want to try something like this here, be happy to work with you. Speak with me. It's a great gift to have all who proclaim the word. Thank you, Joe, and blessings go with you. Stand now as we continue with what we believe professed in the words of our creed. In God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Turn our hearts, O God. Make us attentive to your call to take up the cross and to share your good news with a world in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Turn our hearts, Lord, toward life in all its infinite variety. We pray for all vanishing and endangered creatures who struggle to find a home in this world. Open our eyes to the value of our interconnected relationships with the world you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Turn our hearts, Lord, toward all who yearn for calm and justice. Where there is violence and conflict, grant peace. Where there is disparity, grant just distribution. Where there is hatred and fear, grant compassion and empathy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Turn our hearts, Lord, toward all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those in bondage to sin, addiction, poverty, physical slavery, human trafficking, and those who are incarcerated or detained. We pray for those in any need, especially those affected by Hurricane Dorian, and for those we hold dear, Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Walter, Bobby, Sheila, the family of Lydia, Aldine, Sheila, Lydia, Walt, Barbara, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Laura, Jen, the family of Eric, Judy, Misty, Alice, Al, Dan, Jan, Robert, Joyce, Bill and Becky, Gary, Frankie, Garland, Carol, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Turn our hearts, Lord, toward the ministries of our congregation that feed the hungry, share with the needy, advocate for the silenced, and work for your justice. Embolden our hearts to labor without fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before you, before your throne of grace, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. we share a sign of Christ's peace.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Oh, yeah.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.